Hello, everyone. This is Mike Quincy connecting the light. My guest today is Marlies Carlin, and she is a visionary pioneer, author, humanitarian, and recognised globally for igniting an energy of peace that brings exceptional healing to the mind and body. For that reason, we are going to discuss her book, The Power of Peace in You, which she describes as a revolutionary tool for hope, healing and happiness in the 21st century. So welcome to the program, Marlies.
Thank you, Mike. It's great to be here today.
Well, now, you've had a very interesting life that led you into the chosen occupation, if you can call it that, that you're now in.
I know, it's more like a purpose, isn't it? You know, when you have that calling reach out to you and really send you in such an entirely new direction. I think for me, I rarely could call it a career. It's like, you know, my destiny. It's nice when when you've had that opportunity to really recognize what is life guiding you to do, you know? Well, shall I take over? Okay. Well, I want everyone to know that I wrote a book called The Power of Peace in You after I had a series of experiences that taught me that I was here to bring about a new understanding of what's possible for everyone. And I had been meditating and on a lifelong journey for over 25 years of seeking and looking deeply into who I was. And then suddenly I had a series of extraordinary experiences that taught me what's possible for all of us. And I began to travel the world offering out this experience. And what I evidenced was so extraordinary that I heard messages to write a book about it so that more people could begin to experience who we are when we're connected to that infinite intelligence and what's possible for every one of us. So I think we've lost our host. I'm very happy to be here with everyone. I was reading about Mike and his work, and it sounds really extraordinary and wonderful. And so I'm sure if you're listening, that's something that you're clued into as well, that connection with the light and that knowing the light in greater and greater ways in your own life. And isn't that what today is all about? And that's the understanding that I got. And it really accelerated tremendously, as I said, when I had this series of experiences. And so I developed a method called the simplicity of stillness. And what amazed me, even after all my years of study of evolutionary thought, of healing modalities, of ancient scripture, is what I experienced. And what I evidenced is how this energy field of awareness that was now coming through was bringing people into a whole new understanding in their own lives. And this is from children to seniors. And it was from Maasai warriors on the plains of Africa, as well as CEOs in boardrooms. So it's wonderful to know that we're living at a time when every one of us can connect to that infinite intelligence within, and that it resonates through the stillness. And so what I saw happening for me and happening for many other people is it really began to reach levels of pain and memories and trauma that still existed in my cellular memory. You know, we each in the cells of our body have this memory from different things we've done in the past, in our childhood and beyond that. And once that can be released, then we're so free to have new choices in life and to live an entirely different life than if we were coming from those limitations. Is Mike on?
Yes, I'm here, yes.
Hello, welcome back.
Yeah, you've been doing very well. I've been listening to the last comments that you've been making. I mean, what made you feel so positive about the direction that you had to go in?
Well, you know, what I experienced was this energy field, in essence, that began moving through me. Mm. And it was at a moment that I actually was literally laying on the floor weeping and crying because I was seeing like this in my mind's eye, this screen of everything I had done in my life that I felt ashamed of. And so as I was watching this, I had this feeling that I would never be able to experience what I was looking for. I wanted to taste that freedom and know that love that is possible that we can all tap into. And I felt now it was impossible. And right then, this beautiful, beautiful sensation began moving through me. And it really affected me very sensorially. I mean, I could see light all around me. And it was literally moving through my body in such a way that what I experienced was that being in connection with everything. And it was not a concept. It radiated through me out into the world around me. And so as I began speaking to people or offering it to them, they would see enormous change in their lives as well. And so, you know, over time, I was guided to develop a methodology so that more people could begin to experience this with very simple tools, experience how to leave behind pain from the past, how to move into the greater intelligence we all already have.
Indeed. I can see that the fact that you felt so positive about what you were needing to do or wanted to do enabled you to sort of unload your baggage, if one may call it that, so that it didn't interfere with your intent to follow your own path.
Yes, you know, when we are able to release our limitations, what bubbles to the top is an innate courage and a strength. So, and it's not coming from a false bravado. It comes from this who we are at our core. And so suddenly you're able to make choices and do different things in life that you never would have even attempted because there's nothing blocking you. So all those old things that show up of why would I do that? I'm not good enough at that. And, you know, all those things that make you stop from living your life in the way you want begin dissipating and very naturally.
So when you experience this light and this energy around you, do you think that was because you connected perhaps with your higher self? I mean, what did you attribute that to?
What I understand is this is who we are at our core. This is who we all are. We are all spiritual beings. We are here living this life, and we are here to connect to one another, to understand who we are, and to remember and move back into that beautiful light and of who we truly are. And you know, that light vibrates on a much higher level. And so releasing pains from the past makes a lot of sense, doesn't it?
Absolutely, yes.
And this is who we all are. So it isn't that I'm giving people anything that they're not. It's just that the more you experience this within yourself, then it grows and grows and grows, and you see your life transforming. So it belongs to every single one of us. But what I found is that a lot of that light within me was covered up. You know, I ran away from home at 16. My father was alcoholic. I did a lot of drugs. I drank a lot of alcohol. So all the pain in my life had covered up the light that existed inside me. And this energy, you know, this pure awareness, there's a lot of different names we can give what this is. As this awareness, you know, began to open within me, and I'm saying, you know, really on a whole new level, because I had been meditating, as I said, for over 20 years. Mm-hmm. And I studied with a lot of brilliant teachers, but this was an acceleration. And that's why I say in my book, The Power of Peace in You, it's about tools that will take us into the experience of who we are and what's available in the 21st century. Because what's available today is beyond anything that we could have imagined before. It isn't that this was available for masses of people 20 years ago. We would have, you know, they would have taken us away in white coats.
Yes, I recall in your book you spoke of connecting to the source of who we are. And do you think that most people have difficulty in establishing who they really are?
Absolutely. And, you know, it's like an ongoing discovery. It's not one simple answer, is it? You know, I want to continually grow. It's part of our evolution. But what you want to know is you can make it really simple for yourself. And that's why I call the method the simplicity of stillness, because there is a beautiful ABC to it. There is a way that you want to begin healing and integrating this into your life, because as you do, you experience the difference for yourself. So there's nothing to believe. There's nothing that's a concept. It's your experience that tells you.
Yes. I mean, looking at your background, you obviously appear to have been quite upset in a way when you reviewed your earlier life and you were asking yourself how could you have done what you did, and I think you said you felt unworthy. I mean, how did you put that behind you, or was it simply forgiving yourself and loving yourself for what you were?
I will tell you that as this powerful awareness begins opening inside you on greater levels, it literally dissipates the pain from the past. So you don't even have to like love yourself or figure it all out. It's like forgiveness appears, and the thoughts that you had before, you know, they just begin getting so far in the background that suddenly they don't ring a bell anymore. Your self-worth issues are gone. Practices in the book, and there are 11 practices, and I call them the SOS practices. They're very down to earth. And one of them, which most people know, but it includes journaling. Because when you write down what you're wanting to bring into your life and you start seeing it show up, or you start seeing things leave you, your mind will forget that you ever had that as a problem. Look at your journal and go, oh, that worried me 6 months ago. Now I could care less. It doesn't bother me at all.
Great, yes, when you can reach that point. I like your deeper thoughts about this by talking about communicating with the body at a cellular level, as well as outside of the body. Perhaps you could tell us a little bit about your thoughts on that side of it.
Well, because of the healing study that I did with different masters, I began to really understand how all of our thoughts, whether we speak them out loud or they're just in the mind, they're affecting our cellular structure every single moment. So if we have this old tape recorder playing of what we're not good enough and what doesn't work and our unworthiness or anything like that, you know, or any of the pain or the anger, you know, anger is a good one. If you live in a place of anger, which I did, it will absolutely affect your body. And if not immediately, it will affect it down the road in your lifetime. I mean, I had times in my 20s when I had such anger with my father. I had such anger. I would go to a workshop because I thought it would help me to release it. And each time I would get up and start to speak about him, within hours they had to rush me to the hospital.
Yeah.
Because it affected my body so much, I ended up getting, they call it a pelvic inflammatory disease. Now, why would that happen every time I spoke about my father? That has to tell you something, you know? And when I began to release that first level of anger, it is when I began meditating and I found so much more love that I could give from a place of love. And then as I developed the simplicity of stillness method, it's like everything dissolves in love. It just dissolves. So you don't carry it anymore. Because when you experience that level of love in your own life, you suddenly have compassion for every human being you know that might never have experienced it and maybe never will. And I saw that with my father.
Indeed. I can see from what you're saying there, again, how you have come to say in your book that our thoughts and actions are creating our lives, because that is what happened to you, isn't it, prior to you becoming enlightened.
Yes. And you know what I think, Mike? It's enlightened is a word that... I think there are a lot of words we want to redefine for ourselves because we have concepts around them. And what I saw, you know, because I have had the good fortune of meeting several enlightened masters. And when this experience began coming to me and moved through me, so people began transforming as I would teach them this or offer them this experience in their lives. I had only seen that before from enlightened masters. But guess what? I still make mistakes. I still trip and fall down. I would not call myself an enlightened master. And yet, what this method offers you brings you into these beautiful transformational states similar to what enlightened masters brought you. So I think if we redefine words, like I think we're all moving into more enlightened states of consciousness. So that way you can accept, oh, I am more awake than I ever was. And isn't that easier to take on than, I'll never be enlightened or I'll never, you know what I'm saying?
Oh, yes. You've got to believe in yourself and, I think, express the firm intent to be what you want to be. You've got to believe that you have that power within.
Yeah.
Because you've spoken of connecting to the power of the infinite energy.
Yes. Yes. You want me to speak about that?
Oh, yes. I mean, there may be some people listening who... understand what you mean by the infinite energy, but maybe they don't really understand how they can connect to it, even if they are without knowing it.
Yes, and everyone has an ability to tap into this infinite energy, and yet it can seem distant. And that's why I developed stillness sessions. So the simplicity of stillness has three main elements. One, stillness sessions, which is a unique new form of meditation that is so simple, kids do it as well as Buddhist monks. That's how profound it is, because it carries that energy stream within it. So you don't have to think of anything, do anything. Even if you do think it's okay, you're just listening to music and it begins to move through you and into your life. The second element is a reconnection tool. It's called the three-breath awareness. So you can reconnect to that experience again and again in a moment, wherever you are in the middle of the day. And then the SOS practices are very practical ways to bring this healing into your life, in your mind, through your body, by integrating it to see your life begin shifting and changing and your understanding. And I always think the best way to understand something is through an experience. So I brought the just a taste of a stillness session, a five-minute stillness session that we could do now, if you like. Can just begin and have a taste of that experience. So what?
Love it. Yeah.
Great. And you as well, Mike, if you would like to do that. So let's just invite everyone, wherever you are, you can lay down, you can sit in a chair, and just relax your body. Put your hands gently in your lap, palms up or down, and just close your eyes and begin breathing deep. There's nothing to do. Just relax and allow yourself to listen and know that you are drawing to you what is perfect for you in this moment.
Thank you. see that luminous light as it radiates from your core out into this world. Whispering your name. As the rain washes your worries away, so you can breathe in the knowing of you. Just breathe in the knowing of you. It's time to open your mind and be free. There is so much power and peace in you. Breathe in the knowing now, and be in the stillness within.
So, holding on to the awareness that you're experiencing in this moment, bring it with you back out into the space where you are, and when you can, slowly and gently open your eyes. So, welcome back. Are you there?
Well, I'm certainly here. Thank you, Malise. That indeed was very relaxing. I thought you might have to sort of shout out rather loud, wake up everybody. That was very nice. It reminds me of something you mentioned in your book, which of course I'm going to come to very soon. But when you were talking about your case studies, I know it's only a short one, but tell us about Betsy.
Which story did you want me to share with you?
About Betsy, who had a vision during her first time in stillness.
Is that the woman, the attorney?
Your book where her mother appeared in a vision.
Yes.
I thought that was rather interesting.
Yes. Well, there was a woman who lived in Los Angeles at the time, and she was an attorney, and she had lost her job. And so she came to me and was wondering, you know, what she could do and how she could begin to get her life back on track. And in the first time of stillness, as she did the stillness session, she had a vision. And in the vision, her mother came to her, as well as many different healers. And she saw that her mother had never given her the same understanding that she could speak her truth aloud, that her mother had always more, you know, speak when you're spoken to kind of thing, and had given that to her daughter. And of course, being an attorney, that's not very beneficial. You have to be able to speak out and speak, you know, your truth for your client and all of that. But this epiphany as it came to her, and that experience as that igniting energy opened within her began to shift how she dealt with everything in her life from that very moment. So even in the next week, she said she had gone to an event where there were all couples who came together and they would have a beautiful dinner. And suddenly one gentleman was taking over all of the communication and nobody else was getting to speak. And she found herself standing up and very politely saying, "Thank you so much for what you shared. We so appreciate it. Now, is there anybody else who would like to speak?" And the room came to a complete, you know, silence, as if no one could believe that she had kind of silenced this man. And then it like broke open, like everybody was so excited and people began to share more and talk about things in their lives. And when they left the event, that one by one, people thanked her, you know, and said, "Thank you so much." It became so much more fun. And that night, as she and her husband were driving home, he looked at her and said, "Who are you?"
Yes.
Bottom line is, within the next couple of months, she shifted so powerfully in who she was that she ended up getting a job at one of the top law firms in Los Angeles and actually ended up in a courtroom as second chair, which is something that had always been her dream. And she said when she spoke for her client that when she sat down, he looked at her and said, "Who are you? I think you're an angel." And then I said, "How interesting, because how often do attorneys ever get called angels?" But what happened for her, she became so empowered in who she was, and she got to see why she had walked the journey the way she had from that appearance of her mother coming to her.
Indeed, yes. Now, I mean, when you sort of found yourself, I believe a key point was in 2004 when I believe you started traveling the world. I mean, what was it that prompted you to take that on? I mean, not too many people do that.
Exactly. Well, you know, at the time when I had the experiences, it began in 2001, and I was a film producer at the time. And these experiences kept getting stronger and stronger and stronger. And then when I recognized how profoundly they were affecting people, so I would, you know, start off with friends and offer my hand to them and, you know, begin speaking to them in a stillness session. And suddenly all these layers of past pain or memories would arrive and they would dissipate so quickly. And then what happened is I began bringing up all the different practices that I had developed myself, because throughout the years of my study of evolutionary schools of thought, of the law of attraction, I worked with communities of thousands of people, and I had made these practices to help people to find their dreams and to bring prosperity into their communities, and they worked fantastic. So now I realized when you combined that energy of awareness with these very simple practices, it began to really transform people's lives. And so I was guided, you know, because people would say, "Oh, come to Spain. I will bring you here, or come over here, or come to Africa. I want you to, you know, meet the Maasai." And so I began doing this. And actually what I found is it was the way that this universe wanted to enlighten me of what was possible today and how it could cross all cultures, all economies, all ages. And it just shows who we are at our core when we are in that place and how we value one another.
Yeah, you were with the Maasai tribe for quite some time, I think. I mean, what was your objective in going to that particular tribe? Had you some knowledge of them that you wanted to sort of share with them?
Well, I listen to where I'm guided to go. It's one thing that I've learned. I think we all receive messages, not booming voices, but it's like this inner knowing. And there's a difference between listening and saying, oh, maybe not, and listening and saying, okay, I'm going to try that. Okay, I think that's coming through for me. So I began listening in such a way that I actually moved on and turned it into action. So, you know, it's just like I went to see the Maasai because the message came through that that's what I was supposed to do. And years after that, I ended up being with the Polynesian people in Tahiti. And then at another time, I was guided to be in Amsterdam. And so it's really about tuning in to what life is offering you. And from that infinite intelligence that guides us. See, I believe everyone is really guided very profoundly about what to do in every single incident and event that happens in your life. Only we don't listen and we haven't learned how to trust the messages that do come through.
Indeed, yes. As you actually said in your book that we have to learn to trust, and in doing that, it's not simply blind faith. And you also spoke about guidance from the source of the truth. So I think when you're in the light and you're feeling this urge to do something, what you're really saying is follow it. I suppose you'd call it your intuition, wouldn't you?
I think it's even more than the intuition, because I have urges to eat chocolate 24/7.
So do I.
Now, that's not what I'm thinking of. That will benefit me, will it? So it's really when you get, this is why I say it's so important that we tap into that infinite knowing, because then we hear the messages coming through and we begin to trust. And it isn't blind faith, because like getting back to what you spoke about with the Maasai, look, when I got there, everything that had been planned of the sessions that I was supposed to do, they all were canceled because it was raining. They were having monsoon rains like they never had before. People were trying to leave Africa in droves because you couldn't see the animals. It was pouring rain. You know, roads turned into rivers. And I just trusted, well, why am I here? You know, what's supposed to happen? And like there are several stories in the book about what happened when one night, you know, I ended up having to go and stay in the Maasai village because I couldn't even get back to my lodge. And that night when my guide stood up and it stopped raining, and he stood up and to all these warriors that had come and said, Marlies has something to offer you. And I offered a stillness session. And I'll tell you, I discovered later how many people's lives were profoundly affected. One man had been an alcoholic drinking for 30-something years. He stopped that night, began taking care of his family in an entirely different way. Another man became one of the top guides in Kenya because he became so fluent and in what he did, and people, you know, tapped into how to communicate with people and be with people. Another man ended up coming to America and learning how to be a balloon pilot. And he was a Maasai warrior. You know what I'm saying?
Well,
something happened. So I also believe it's where we intersect with one another. So was I guided there only for me? No. I was taught so much by being there. And simultaneously, look what happened for these individuals. So did they draw me to their lives as well? They taught me, and I am. It was that perfect intersection of why we're interconnected with one another and why we're so important in each other's lives.
Do you think that what happened where these people suddenly found perhaps a new level of consciousness, that is in fact what happened, did it? I mean, well, I'm not quite clear as to what you did to have lifted them up to that level.
Well, what I experience is when you understand what science is teaching us, that we are energy and that everything that exists in this universe is energy, and it's pulsating, it's in movement all the time. And so what I offer is like I am like a tuning fork. And we understand that tuning fork, when it's vibrating, what happens? Then it brings all the tuning forks in the vicinity into the same pitch. And you can understand that from another scientific point about how even in the brain, there's something called mirror neurons. So when you watch something happening, you don't even have to have it happen to you. You begin bringing that experience to you even by watching it. And so look what's happening. You know, we're vibrating, we're bringing that energy field wider, and people are resonating into higher consciousness. And that's what's happening for all of us. It's not just about Africans. This is what is happening all over the world. You know, and that's why we've always been drawn to teachers who could teach us. You know, and I'm talking, look, wouldn't you like to have hung out with Mozart for a day or two? You know, he was bringing about something that only he could bring about. But if you would be in his presence, I'm sure many people expanded their knowledge and capabilities being around him. And that's what we're doing today. We're able to be with each other and keep expanding our horizons through each other. And on the very simplest level, it's that energy field, that pure awareness. Because you know, Mike, when you go to a party, if you're feeling negative and bad, people feel it the minute you walk in the door, don't they?
Yes, yes.
We can't hide That's true. Those things. Because it's an energy. You feel it. So this is about being in a higher state of consciousness, allowing that to move through you, and that's how we keep uplifting each other. That's how we value each other and uplift each other so simply. And as I say in the book, one simple tool that I've created for this is stillness sessions. Because when you listen to them, they have that high vibration, and it moves you, opens you into a higher vibration within you. And that's something I do myself. I do the practice continually because we're all evolved. It isn't a one-time, I'm done, you know. I'm there.
Right.
Again,
well,
I would add there,
Marlene, our listeners should know that when they buy your book, there is a CD with it for an 18-minute session of the stillness of silence.
Yes, yes. So the power of peace in you has power of peace in you stillness session at the back of the book. And then the book has 11 practices and stories of people from all over the world who completely inspired me when they began living more at the height of their own knowledge, of their own knowing inside. That's what I wanted to share with people, how it's possible to begin doing this very, very simple methodology, the simplicity of stillness, and really raise your own level of awareness so that you can go and follow that dream, or you can release that pattern from the past that's been hanging on. And isn't that what we all want, you know, so we
Absolutely, yeah. I think your book, I suppose this is all planned at one level somewhere, comes out at a very appropriate time, because by any other name, some of the things you talk about are really, I think, referred to as ascension. And you talk about the timing of a new dimension of consciousness opening, which has not been accessible to the masses until now. And you tell us that it promises profound effects beyond what most of us can even imagine. And I'll go along with that all the way. And you also talk about us witnessing the disillusion of humanity's mindless ambitions and endless discord and conflict, which we would all greatly be happy about.
Yes. Yes. It is time.
So do you believe that this is indeed a very special time when you talk of the timing of a new dimension of consciousness opening?
I do. I think this is an extraordinary time. You know, and it is simultaneously happening with the big challenges that everyone is facing today. So this is an amount, you know, moving into this fairy tale. It's about bringing this infinite intelligence into the reality that we're all living in now, because then that reality begins to shift. So, you know, we're uplifting this reality by uplifting our own consciousness and coming together. It's like that web. It's like a beautiful web that's branching out. And the more it branches out, it uplifts everybody, you know, simultaneously. And that's what's so great. And it takes you through that journey in the power of peace in you. So that any time you're at a place where you want to create a dream, you go exactly to the chapter where the practice, making requests, is there. Or you go to the chapter about the time when you're up against it and you're feeling so much resistance, and you find the little elements inside that that help you to let that anger go and to begin tapping back into what's really possible in your own life. Then I think we'll see, Mike, you know, we have the possibility of having the most extraordinary planet ever, because we certainly have a lot of brilliant minds in the world today, but we're not there yet. We need to reach even the next level so that people are resonating from this place of value, because that place of greed and manipulation is still very, very much alive.
Indeed. Now, to get onto this new level, I think I must introduce the idea that you mention in Chapter 4 of your book, which I think you call The Journey and the Practice of Contemplation. It reads that it's something in the way of a cleansing of our body, overcoming perhaps habits that aren't in our best interest. So perhaps you'd like to talk a little bit about that part.
Yes, you know, it's so necessary to take time of introspection, for contemplation, for journaling, because otherwise we're racing 100 miles an hour past everything that happens. And when you get out of reaction and just take this moments, maybe in the morning, maybe in the middle of the day, whatever works for you, to get out of that rapidly moving stream and just dip into that well. And if you can even like do a 5-minute stillness like you just noticed. It isn't that you zone into another world. It's like tapping into the stillness. And this is where inspiration arises. This is the source of all creation. And so this is how we begin healing, you know, what's in the past, and moving more into integrating new habits in our lives. And it's the new habits and new behaviors that will really begin opening up all these new beginnings in our lives, because we're making different choices every day. And then that suddenly opens up a very conscious life everywhere you turn. And when you are living that really, really conscious life, you draw more and more circumstances to you and people to really be more in the flow and the enjoyment of all of life.
Indeed. You talk about becoming more loving, compassionate, and you say it's time to reclaim our natural power and live connected to the infinite energy we truly are. So people might ask how they would connect to that infinite energy, or did I ask you that a little bit earlier?
Well, I will just tell you that the simplest way is the stillness sessions. And of course, look, many people might be listening who already have a meditation practice, and if you're experiencing what I'm talking about, then I'll just invite you to go deeper, and you might really enjoy bringing a stillness session into your life. They're in 11 minutes, 18 minutes, sleep session, because it's just like, look, It's nice to have a different dessert once in a while, isn't it? You know, taste it, try it out, and see if it begins to bring you something new. You know, so it isn't like change everything you're doing. Just try it out. Watch what happens. And there's, I have a book page, powerofpeaceinyou.com. And when you go there, there is a free stillness session that you can download so you can begin experiencing this right away. And there's also an excerpt of the book. So you can take a look and see if it's resonating for you.
Okay. What would you like to tell us about the three breath awareness?
Well, the three breath awareness is such a beautiful practice. Do you know the work like of NLP, neuro-linguistic programming? In a sense, what it is about and how you anchor something into your life and then you're able to go back to it because it's anchored in. And so as you begin tapping in deeper and deeper into this stillness, then you can begin doing the three breath awareness. Where you're just calmly breathing very deep. And when you're breathing that deep, you're allowing that energy vibration to move through every cell in your body. And this is where you have anchored that energy stream of pure awareness. And so as you're breathing, and depending on, you know, your level of stress or what's happening in your life in that moment, sometimes it'll take 1 minute, sometimes two. But after a period of time, many people speak that it takes one breath. And suddenly you begin feeling that tingling throughout your entire body. And that is that reminder of you connecting to pure awareness. And when you've slowed everything down, even in that moment, your mind is clearer. So you can see things more clearly and solutions and answers come to you. So, and it happens that simply just by doing three deep breaths with that remembrance of tapping in to that pure essence within.
That's wonderful. I think it's true to say, something I seem to have read ages ago, that most people do not actually breathe correctly and very rarely breathe deeply to clear their lungs. So what you're giving us there with this three-breath exercise is healthy for us anyway.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Because what I find in most of my programs and courses that I often will go to people and literally tap them on the chest because people breathe like very, you know, and I'll say, okay, everybody, it's time to stop breathing like an asthmatic. We've got to go deep here.
Yes.
For years. So this is, but it's not just like a yogic breath. Do you know what I mean? Because they teach yogic breath and that could be really beneficial as well. Absolutely. But this is going deep with that remembrance of the stillness and literally seeing and feeling your breath when it's moving throughout your entire body. And so many people begin reporting this tingling sensation in the palms of the hands or moving up and down their back and sometimes even like circling at the top of the head. So it's exciting. Knowing it doesn't...
I think if I breathe very deeply, I feel I'm going to become unconscious.
But it's not really unconscious. It's actually super consciousness. Because where else will you go? But you're tapping into that field of pure potential. So you want to let yourself go there. Let yourself be embraced by the arms of pure love. That's what exists inside stillness.
Right. I think we need to remind ourselves when perhaps we are sitting down and relaxing and meditating that breath or breathing is also a very important part of it.
Yeah.
Now, you spoke in one part of your book about problems are gifts in disguise. Give us an example of that.
What you begin to understand is when you are in recognition that you are on a journey and you are on your life's journey to be in complete alignment with highest intelligence within you, with your soul's potential, then you begin to understand that often events in your life that appear are not there to beat you up. They're there to give you an understanding. So take a look. Maybe you're supposed to turn left. Maybe you're supposed to turn right. You know, in the Hindus have a deity called Ganesh. And you've probably seen him. He's this elephant-headed on a body. You know, and what he does, he's called the remover of obstacles. And Ganesh loves you so much that he will put a boulder in the middle of the road to stop you from going down a road that isn't going to benefit you.
Right, yes, yes.
You might hit that boulder and think everything in your life is falling apart instead of realizing you're going down the wrong road.
Right.
So it's having a new perception, becoming still, don't react, and look at what's happening and see what else is possible. So get into the stillness, make a request, listen to the answers coming through, and then take action. So there's an A, B, C to the SOS method. So it'll assist you and not in getting out of the head and moving this higher consciousness into every part of your life.
Right. Now, in some of your case studies on the same subject here, I don't know if you recall, you had a lady called Selena, and her experiences, I think you expressed as being indicating that everything is meant to be. I mean, if you recall the details of that one, I think our listeners would be interested in hearing about that one.
Absolutely. Well, I met Selena. She was a hairdresser, is a hairdresser. And I met her when I had moved to a new area. And she was a totally, what I called a hip happening lady with blue streaks in her hair, very high. And suddenly in the second or third month that I was going to her, her body was getting bigger, bigger, bigger. And I didn't think it had to do with just gaining weight. I had a sense something else was happening. And I asked her, and sure enough, she had contracted a disease. And the doctors had told her that the disease would be lifelong and that she had to get used to it because there was no cure. And she was in a lot of pain. And she was taking steroids, I think, so her body was blowing up with water. And this was in the beginning days of my developing the Simplicity of Stillness method. So I really didn't speak of it in a way that I couldn't communicate it very well. And I did her to a program. And she said, no, I don't believe in anything like that. And when I went back a month later, her body was bigger, and I asked her again. And this time she said, okay, I'll come. And which I didn't know if she was coming just because she was afraid she'd lose me as a client or why she said yes, you know. But anyway, she came to the program. And then a few days later, I saw her, and I said, so how was it? Did you notice anything different in your life? And what she said is, you know, the next day I got in my car, and there was a talk radio on that was so funny, I laughed all the way to work. And I had 5-minute drive to work, and usually I have road rage and I'm screaming out of the window. And since my doctors believe that my illness is stress related, I think that makes a difference. And the interesting thing is, single month, her life began to shift very naturally. And here she was just gently tapping into these practices. Do you know what I'm saying? Even she didn't believe it, but she was tapping into them. And the next month, suddenly, she decided to move from where she worked. She wanted to be surrounded by happier people. The month after that, she moved from her apartment. She wanted something, you know, with more light in it. So little by little, and literally at the end of, I think it was maybe 6 months, her body had shifted so profoundly, and she was in such recognition when she would start to go off that she was drinking less, she was partying less, she was enjoying her life more, and it all happened naturally. And then she decided to even start slowing down on the medication. And because the doctors told her, no, you'll have it for life. So she decided, I'm in charge. I'm going to slowly watch, and I can, you know, if I go back, I'll do more of the medication. But within a year's time, she was completely off all medication. Her body was fine. And when she went back to be tested, the doctors told her, oh, we're sorry. We think we made a mistake. We can't find any of it in your body. We think we misdiagnosed you.
Right. Yeah, I remember you spoke again in the book about releasing resistance, and you said, for example, watch a funny movie. And I guess what you've just described there with that particular woman tells you that laughter is a very good medicine, isn't it?
Yes, yes. And sometimes the practices that help us are the simplest ones. Like watching a funny movie, because if you're in real anger or real worry, you can't get into stillness in that moment either. There's too much, you know, emotional activity going on in your body. So you have to, like I suggest also, go for a walk, go for a run, turn on some great music and dance around your living room, you know, do what you need to. And then when you get back to stillness and into that energy field of awareness, you feel the new insights coming in of what to do. But, you know, think about what ideas you've ever come up with when you're in a state of anger or worry. They're usually really bad ideas.
Now, there's another case study that I thought was very good. You must tell us about this one as well. The guy you call Patrick the Marlboro Man.
Yes, 6'4", white hair. Came to a program in Amsterdam, and he was so quiet the whole time. But at the very end, and it was a full-day program, at the very end when he spoke, he said, I've tapped into something I knew as a child, and I can feel it will grow. I've already experienced it again and again just while I'm here. And he very excited to see that. And I'll tell you, when he spoke, it stopped the whole room, because it was the perfect demonstration of when we are in a state of connection to who we are, that resonates out and it affects everyone. You could feel, you know, what was happening to him, and it literally gave you chills. It was so beautiful. Well, what I didn't know is Patrick had been drinking Jack Daniels for over 30 years of his life, and in the next, a quart of Jack Daniels a day, and in the next month, he completely stopped. Then I didn't see him for a year, and he came to Vienna to a program I gave there, and in the stillness session that evening, he had another profound experience, and he shared it with me a few days later, and he said, I saw myself floating in a river. And I was face down. And suddenly, someone grabbed my hand and pulled me up. And he said, it was Jesus. He goes, I don't even believe in Jesus. I am not religious. But I'm telling you, I wasn't having a dream. It was Jesus. And you could see the shock on his face, right? And his wife was listening, and then he said, and then I felt a pull on my other arm. So now I'm being lifted right out of the water. And then his wife interrupted and said, was it me, dear? And he said, no, it was Mary.
Wow.
You could see he was like, how could this even happen to me? You know, I'm not a religious person. What is going on? And that night, he and his wife decided to go to the famous cathedral there in Vienna. And sure enough, when they walked in the door, there was a special presentation that night of Ave Maria. Oh,
yes.
It's so beautiful, isn't it? So,
yeah.
So, you know, whatever is meant to come to you in your life, whether you love Buddha, whether you love the quantum sea, whether you love Jesus, Mary, God, none of the above, you will connect to your true nature. And whatever is true for you is what will open for you.
Yes. Do you think that has anything to do with the laws of attraction?
I absolutely believe that we can accelerate our experiences today through the laws of attraction because, again, your thoughts matter. When I had this experience, it happened after I had an injury, and that injury made me say, okay, I need to get back on my journey of what I know is possible. Because I've gotten too off into that, you know, life is a groove and all that's fun, and I've forgotten what I really want to know. And I was still experiencing a lot of sadness in my life with my marriage and this and that. And as I held that knowing, so there's that focused intention of belief of what was possible, and I left time for stillness, what happened? I drew those experiences to me. So, yes. Absolutely, the law of attraction, you want to have that understanding because it will keep opening the door wider and bringing you that focused intention that you're holding for yourself. And I do think, Mike, that sometimes we don't even know what we want because what's been given to us is beyond what we know. And so it aligns with our soul's intention. And so our soul might be there saying, okay, we're tired of you doing the same thing over and over, you know, time for your next wake up. And so, you know, we have a car wreck, or we're in the middle of a divorce, or, you know, often we go through something like what I call a threshold, you know, a crossroads. And that's that moment when we can really also dive into a whole new possibility for ourselves.
Indeed, yes. So what you're really saying as well, also, is that there is really no one else to blame in our life for really what happens. Either we planned it or we've attracted it to ourselves.
Yes. And, you know, I mean, I reached a place where I could thank my father and say, you played that role in my life so that I could begin my life's journey at a very early age. Pretty amazing, isn't it? And I got to tell you, I'm launching a radio program called Real Power, True Peace. It'll be on the World Puja Network. It's beginning March the 7th. And yeah. I just did the first interview with John Holland, you know, who's a renowned medium psychic. And during the program, suddenly my father arrived.
All right.
I know, I was not expecting this because really the program is about empowerment for you. So I'm drawing in like the greatest teachers, and then I'm incorporating it with the simplicity of stillness method. So you're having the experience and you're having the knowledge. And in the midst of all this, I say to John, you know, is there anybody who has come today, you know, who might be wanting to add and offer us a message for this program? And yeah. He suddenly said, and I said, it doesn't have to be someone departed. It could be someone from another dimension. You know, that could be fun. And
yes.
was ready for anything. And suddenly he says, Marlies, how long ago did your father pass? Because he's here with you right now. And John doesn't know my background. He doesn't know about me. And it was really beautiful. And my father was saying how much he understood what I do today and how much he appreciated it and was proud of me. How sweet is that?
Beautiful.
Yes. Yes. So
in other words, every experience is of value to us.
Every single one. It's true. And I mean, I will tell you, Mike, look, I live in this world. I'm very realistic. And sometimes I'll have an experience and my thought is, well, I know that everything in my life is to bring me benefit, but I can't see what this one is about right now.
Oh, that's where your faith comes in, doesn't it?
Yes, the trust.
Your knowing, and, I think, is the in word.
Yes, the trust and the knowing. And I have learned, see, I don't go into knee-jerk ever. My knee-jerk now is I'm going to become still. I'm not going to think about it. Because if I think about it right now, it might depress me or make me angry or, you know, I might still have those old buttons that might show up. So if I let it be, knowing that better answers will come up, then I give myself that opportunity. Plus, I don't have to walk around being worried or angry or anything.
Yes, I know you've sort of spoken about surrendering by allowing the universal consciousness, that part that exists beyond time and space, to take us over and guide us.
Yes. Yes. There's a beautiful place of surrender, a story of surrender in the book about a young man. And, you know, I had my place of surrender again, like what I was saying when I had that initial experience because that, you know, where that energy began to open because I was seeing, you know, all these things that I had done and I had to just surrender to being in that experience in that moment. But for this young man, he had actually come and had been doing this work. And then he moved out of his home and he was beginning a whole new life and he moved to another city and he got in a crowd, in a wrong crowd. And suddenly he found himself late nights drinking, doing cocaine. And, you know, you think that once you're awakening, you're going to just keep staying awake. But you know what? For some people, you're going to have to go through a few more bumps in life. And that's okay. It's very hard for a mother to see this or, you know, like that, but people have to go through their life journey. And what happened for him, which he's the one who shared this with me, is that he went so far down that he literally also was laying on the floor of his apartment crying, saying, I can't live like this anymore. I can't live like this. And what came through for him is, oh, Marlies made it through. I remember her telling me she made it through. She did drugs. She made it through. And so the first thing he did was set an intention. I'm going to pull myself out of this. I don't know the answer yet, but I'm going to pull myself out of this. Well, you know, guide me and show me what to do. And literally within days, he was sharing some of his story with someone that he was seated next to at a restaurant. And or at a bar, but not a drinking bar or something. And suddenly this person then gets a job as a top chef and invites him to come and work at her restaurant. And yeah. I'm, you know, one thing after the next. And the guy went through everything in the restaurant, became one of the most beloved people there, ended up, you know, working his way to the top. And right now he's gone back to school and he's studying so that he can be a chef. How beautiful is that?
Yeah, that's a wonderful sort of outcome from his troubles.
Yes. Yes. So,
right. In fact, I think that young man you're talking about was Jeffrey, wasn't it?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Not that it matters what his name is, really, but I like the idea that people understand that we have people in our lives, as you mentioned, acting out certain roles with us, where, of course, we both gain something from it. But where you look upon it and you believe the other person is negative and perhaps on the dark side, the fact remains that what they're doing and bringing you into is also a benefit to you.
Right. Well, you know what I find, and maybe that gives me a level of humility in that, what mistakes haven't I made? When have I not been loving in my life? When did I not care for someone in the way that I could? You know, and when I have that recognition, then how can you be angry with someone who just doesn't have enough consciousness yet to know that there's another way to be? Because it's really all about your level of consciousness. The more conscious you become, the more loving you become, the more caring you become, the more you value yourself and every human being. And it isn't that it means I'll make best friends and hang out with you because, you know, I'm smart, I'm awake. So I can send you love but not hang out with you every day either, because that's not going to serve me, is it?
Right, that seems interesting. Now, well, I think we're probably coming to the end of my questions from the various notes that I've had here. I wouldn't think there's anything we haven't touched upon in your book that perhaps we should have mentioned, but is there anything you would like to add that we might have omitted?
Well, I would just say that what's great about The Power of Peace in You is it is the kind of book that you can pick up and read at many different times in your life. Because as our consciousness keeps taking us higher, there are different events that happen in our life where we want more support. You know, like you'll go back to the practice about creation so that you can really begin creating that next job or that next relationship, and it'll give you that support. Or you'll go to it again when you're facing something very difficult. And every time you open it, it will give you insight as to why this is happening and what you can do about it. So it really becomes like a support system, you know, and you can also take it like a whole, like an entire hero's journey. Let me walk through it like a course, because, you know, behind every chapter is the practice that the people did and how you can do that practice in your own life, you know, with an ABC of what you can do. So you can read it from the enjoyment of it and from experiencing that stillness session that's at the back of the book, or you can take it on like, I want to do a 30-day journey. Because you are not going to be the same person when you're doing this 30 days, even 2 days, really. But, you know, you can take it on in any way that you like. So I just want to invite people to know that it is something that really grows with you and continually invites you to grow in your own life.
Well, as our listeners realize, I've read your book, and it's very interesting. Very easy one to put down and come back to at any other time. And, of course, it's not too heavy. And with your case studies there, there is the sort of living proof, as you might say, of the value of what you're promoting there. So I think that's wonderful. Where are your books available from, incidentally?
They are at Barnes & Noble. They are at Kindle through Amazon. And can come to my website at powerofpeaceinyou.com, and we have them there for you as well. And they are available in the UK as well as Australia. And so it's all over.
You're doing all right, as they say.
Well,
what is your usual web is under your own name, isn't it? That's www.marliescarlin.com. Is that correct?
Correct, and that's Carlin with a K. And there you can also...
with a K, yes. Very good point to make there. Now, I have got another copy of your book in addition to the one that I was sent to read. And what I propose to do is to offer it to our listeners. If anybody is interested in this book, if they would like to send me a blank email and in the subject line put the name of the book, The Power of Peace in You, After a couple of days, I'll just make a random selection, and someone will be lucky enough to get a copy of Marlies's excellent book, totally free. So if you hold on there a minute, Marlies, I'll just give my email address out for those of my listeners who aren't aware of it, which is Michael Quincy, and that is Q-U-I-N-S-E-Y, not C, and it's at my post office, which is all one word, mypostoffice.co.uk. So if you're interested, don't forget, blank email with the name of the book, The Power of Peace in You, in the subject line. I think maybe that covers it now, Marlies. It's been very nice talking to you.
You too.
Having seen your videos, of course, I knew what to expect.
Oh, thank you so much. It's been beautiful spending time with you as well.
Well, it's been enjoyable, and I love your approach to the work you're doing and, well, life in general, and I'm sure you're making a lot of people very happy with what you're doing.
Thank you so much. It's a blessing for all of us to be able to play together and enjoy each other's company. And what a beautiful gift you're bringing out to people through your radio program. So thank you. I look forward to coming to the UK, so we'll have to get together.
Kind of you to say that. Thank you very much, Marlies. We love you. You're a lovely person. Thank you.
Thank you.
Right, friends, we come to the end of yet another good program, and excellent guests, very nice speaker. Next week, I've got Mercedes Kirkel. Again, she's an author who's written a book called Join the River of Love, and it comprises of channeled messages from Mary Magdalene. In fact, the title of the book is Mary Magdalene Beckons, Join the River of Love. So that should also be interesting. Mary Magdalene, I think, is probably known from a channeling point of view as giving out messages which contain very high levels of love. They're very gentle, very feminine. So I hope you'll be with me then. And I'll thank you for being with me today. God bless you all. Thank you.